This is a reading from the book of Jeremiah. But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis D'Amazo, and beside being the director of security here at Geneva, I'm also an active police officer. I was working the midnight shift, as a matter of fact, last night, and while on patrol, I had some time to think, and I was thinking about what I was going to say today, and I came up with a couple things. One, sometimes it's really difficult being a police officer and being a Christian. In my 20 plus years being a police officer, I've seen some horrific things which made me question my faith. Ironically, though, it's through the Lord in prayers that I was able to deal with these same things. The other thing that I thought about were all the stereotypes people have about police officers. We're often perceived as being loud, overbearing, alcohol abusing, uncompassionate individuals. But the biggest stereotype I have a problem with is the perception is of that all we do is ride around in police cars and eat donuts all day. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoy a good donut as well as the next person, but you'll never see me eating one on duty, and you'll never see me eating one on campus. Because with my luck, I'll pull out that favorite donut, I'll get ready to take a bite, and every student with a camera phone will take my picture in that, oh my, look. In all seriousness, though, our next guest, he breaks all those stereotypes. He's a God-fearing man who happens to be a police officer. He's a good friend of mine. He not only talks the talk, he walks the walk. It's my privilege and pleasure to introduce Chief Charles Jones of the Beaver Falls Police Department.
Praise God. There's a lot of people in here. It's a little bit more than what I expected, but praise God. I'd like to thank Dennis as well. I was kind of nervous what he's going to say. It's always a point right before you get up and speak, the person introduces you. They can say anything they want, so you just got to be careful. Amen. Very pleased to be here, and I praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times for his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Once again, I thank God for giving me the opportunity to stand here before you all and to share with you some of the great and marvelous things that the good Lord has done in my life, that he's doing in my life, and that he continues to do in my life. I'd like to acknowledge the president of this great institution, Dr. Smith. I'd like to thank head of chapel here, Dean Smith, for inviting me to come here and speak. I'd like to once again thank my good friend and my brother in Christ, Dennis D'Amazo, for my introduction. I'd like to acknowledge my boss, the Honorable Mayor Carl Boak, and his wife. I greet you all in the name of my Lord and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our soon coming King, the King of Kings, our risen Savior. I greet you all in his name. Amen. The scripture text that I'm going to be reading from is going to be coming from Matthew 5:14 and 16, and I'll read. It's verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16 reads, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and most righteous word. As we know, the word of God speaks a lot about light in the Bible. We know that light is the opposite of darkness. And the word of God tells us that we were called out of the world of darkness and we were brought into his marvelous light. The book of John tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus wants us to be lights of the world. Amen. The thing about being a light of the world, the problem isn't so much that we have a problem with letting our light shine. The problem that I find in my Christian walk, and that I see a lot of Christians having, is the consistency in letting our light shine. What I'm trying to say is a lot of us are living our lives based on a clap on and clap off type of relationship with Jesus. I don't know if anybody remembers those commercials that come on, clap off. Well, that's how a lot of us live our lives. And keeping with your theme, the Jesus way, that's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is he wants consistency in our lives. He wants us to let our light so shine continually. Not just on Sunday, not when other Christians are around, but all the time. See, we find a lot of times when we're around our pastor or around other Christian people, we want to clap our light on because that's what we're supposed to do. But when we're not around on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon and we're out in the world, oftentimes we find we clap our light off and we live just like the rest of the world. That's not the Jesus way. One of my earlier struggles, as Dennis was discussing earlier, with being a police officer early on, especially being one of the few African-American officers around the area, is that finding my identity of who I am as a policeman. And one of the difficulties I had is that you get flooded with all kind of information from veteran officers. And I had officers that were the ones that wore the gloves and had their sleeves rolled up. And they tell you, yeah, you got to go out there and you got to go bash heads and you got to grab them. That's how you get your respect on the street, right? And then you had the other officers that said, no, you don't do that. You get respect by giving respect. And it kind of reminded me of the old cartoons where you had one angel on the side and a bad guy on the other, and all that information was going through my head. And as I went through life and through my career, it finally started to balance out, and I started to find my identity as a police officer. And just as it may be, this is how God works. It seems like as soon as you start to pick up something, then he goes, okay, now that you've gotten to this level, I'm going to take you to the next level. And that's what he did, because now he told me, now that you feel comfortable as a police officer, the next step I want you to do is I want your identity as a police officer and as a Christian. Now, that was a totally different struggle, because, as I said, the clap-on, clap-off relationship, that's what took place in my career. And what happened is the Word of God tells us that a double-minded man, he's unstable, not just some of his ways, but all of his ways. And that's what became of me in my walk with Christ and being a police officer. That was pretty much how I worked my career until one incident that I had that I know to this day God ordered this. What happened is I pulled a car over, and the gentleman that I pulled over did nothing but gave me a hard time. Now, I know you may find this hard to believe, but when you deal with the public, they can sometimes try your patience. I know you find it hard to believe, but yeah, he gave me a really difficult time. And it got so bad that I believe he was wanted, and I ended up getting a tussle with this guy. So I ended up tussling with this guy, finally got him handcuffed, and as my backup officers arrived, they found me, I must admit, ashamedly, that I was cursing and I was tripping out, and I realized then I had a little bit of a temper. So we get the guy handcuffed, we run him back to the station, and I lock him up, and I go back on patrol, and my partner, we end up talking later that evening. He asks, we pull cars side by side and ask each other how his family's doing and such. So anyway, he says, I heard you're going back to church and you're turned your life back over to Christ. And I said, yes, I am. And I said, you're more than welcome to come to my church. And he looked at me and says, well, you could have fooled me based on how you were acting earlier. And I don't know, that to this day, that has stuck right here in my heart. And I felt like Peter when he denied Christ, because I denied Christ. Until that day, that shaped and molded me in my direction in my relationship with Christ. And I made a promise to God that I would never be caught in that position again. Now, by saying that doesn't mean that I'm perfect and that I do everything perfectly. But you see, I may not be where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. Amen. And I thank God for that. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants us to understand. That's the Jesus way. We can't go through life being one way and then the other. Because I would go to church on Sunday and I'd clap my light on and I would praise God and I would sing the songs of Zion and look at my watch. It's 4:00. It's time to turn it off. I'm a police officer. That's not the Jesus way. And we find a lot of times that when you go through life, and I experienced this when I was a young man, that oftentimes you think that you have control of that and you can clap your light off and on it because you control your environment. But the thing you got to realize is that a lot of times someone's looking at you that you don't even realize that they're looking at you. A pastor told me a story about one time when he was a young man that he was walking down a street and there was a homeless guy in front of a hotel. And he said people were walking by him and saying nasty remarks to him. And so he went up and said to this man, he started telling him about the things of Christ and started sharing with him what Christ had done in his life. And he gave him some money to eat. And he went into the hotel. Well, as he's walking in the hotel, a gentleman come off the elevator and he said, "Excuse me, I need to talk to you." And he says, "What can I do for you?" He says, "I want you to know I've been on the fifth floor the whole time you were talking to that homeless guy." And he says, "I've been up there for like an hour, and I've seen everybody walk by this guy and treat him like dirt. But," he says, "you stopped and show that man compassion. You stopped and talked to him." He says, "You must be a Christian." He knew nothing about this man, but just based on what he observed of this man, he let his light shine. The question we got to ask ourselves is, why do we find that we need to dim or turn off our lights? There's many different reasons, there's many different ways, but the whole thing amounts to that a lot of us are ashamed of our relationship with Christ. The gospel tells us to never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? I believe Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, then he said, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. My Uncle Kelvin used a phrase years ago. He called it a secret agent Christian. And we got a lot of secret agent Christians, you know what I mean? We sneak around and we don't want nobody to know, our friends know that we have a relationship with Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that I'm not afraid to let anybody know who I serve. Anybody that will ask me who I serve, I am not afraid to let them know I'm in love with a man and his name is Jesus. We need to quit being ashamed of who we serve and who we are in Christ. We need to quit being ashamed of to let our light so shine before the people so to show the world that we're serious about our worship and that we're serious about our relationship with God. See, letting our light shine doesn't mean that we have to walk around with our Bible and let everybody see our Bible. Letting our light shine doesn't mean that we have to sing Christian songs all day. Letting our light shine doesn't mean that every room that you walk into, you get announced to say, "Hey, attention, everybody, here comes a Christian." I don't know about you, but often when I find people that do that, that's very fake. It's very embarrassing. I once read a quote by Gandhi. He was being interviewed by a Christian reporter, and a Christian asked him what his opinion about Christ, and he allegedly said, "Your Christ I like very much." He says, "It's the Christian that I don't like because they're not very much like Christ." I don't know about you, but that's pretty deep. We have a responsibility to let our light shine. The interesting thing about light is that you can see light for miles away, but light doesn't make a sound. See, a lot of us are more concerned with making sounds as Christian than we are about letting our light so shine. See, when people around us see that our lights are shining and they view them as good works, and then we glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And when we're able to do this in our lives, we have established purpose. Purpose is very important. It's the Jesus way. One of my favorite things about Jesus, when he was a young man, I believe he was 12, when his family thought they lost him and he found him in a temple and they went in and they said, "Well, we were concerned, we lost you." And he says, "You should have known I was about my Father's business." And the question you need to ask yourselves is, what is my purpose and are you about your Father's business? What is your purpose? I'm like many of you as a young man, and when I went into the military, I didn't know what my purpose is. And then God showed me as the pathway. He showed me where my purpose lied. I'm sure everybody knows the book that Rick Warren wrote some time ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. Through all those pages of the books, the thing that I gained from that is that our purpose is to serve, to worship, and to glorify God, and that's it. As I was studying not too long ago, I come across a motto or a theme that Geneva had, and it said, "Everyone has a path to follow. So how do you move towards yours?" It says, "Geneva College education is more than career training. It's a pathway to purpose, a way for students to find their calling and purpose for a life of service and leadership. That's what fits me. See, I have more than a career. I have a purpose. And that's what if I can get anything across to everybody here, is our jobs are so much more than just a job. We have purpose. See, my purpose is the chief of police of Beaver Falls. But my greater purpose is to serve, to worship, and to glorify God at the same time. Underneath my uniform and my bulletproof vest, and I'm not sure if everybody knows how long it takes us to get dressed for work, and it takes me about 15 minutes to get dressed because I have to put the undershirt on. Then you have to put the vest over top of that. And then I got to put this shirt back over top of it. Then you got to put your gun belt on. And then you got to put all the equipment that goes on the belt. And actually, I weighed myself with the equipment, and I found out it was almost 30 pounds of extra equipment that goes onto your body. But that's all right, because you know what? Underneath all of that stuff, I have another uniform that I never take off. And that uniform is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Never forget who you are. Never be ashamed to let your light so shine. And once your light's shining, leave it on. Never, ever shut it off. See, we got to be like, I believe Motel 6 says, that we'll leave the lights on. That's what we got to do. We got to leave the lights on. Amen? Several weeks ago, a young man came by my office, and I got to know this young man for several years, and it was when I was working the streets. I must admit, I didn't particularly like the young man when I first had contact with him, because every time I dealt with him, he was involved in drugs. He was involved with the wrong crowd, and it seemed like every time I dealt with this guy, it was nothing but confrontation. So the Lord laid on my heart to start speaking to this man and talking to him about Christ, and I did that, and before I knew it, I would be on patrol, he would stop me, and he'd want to talk to me. He wanted to share his experiences. So even since I've been promoted as chief, he's been stopping by my office two or three times a year, just coming in and telling me what's going on in his life. Well, anyway, he come in, like I said, several weeks ago, and he had a different look to him. And as I was talking to him, he says, "I want to share something with you." And I said, "What's that?" He says, "I want to let you know that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Now, I don't know about you, but that made me feel really good inside, that God used me as a vessel to spread his good news, and that I had a small part in having this man change his life. That's purpose. I like to close with, there's a song that I used to sing as a little kid, and we sing it as adults as well. It says, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." This little light of mine, see, it's personal. See, we all got our own individual lights. But he says, "I'm going to let it shine all in my home, all in my job. I'm going to let it shine." And that's my encouragement to you. Leave your light on and let your light continually shine. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in no other name but the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time, dear Lord, that you will be glorified, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, that your word will go forth, dear Lord, and touch someone's life, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you for everything that you do, dear Lord. We once again ask for your comfort and your peace, dear Lord, upon those down in Fort Hood, dear Lord. We ask for your comfort and peace upon all veterans of the United States, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you continually bless the school, dear Lord. Bless the students, dear Father. Bless the faculty, dear Lord. Bless the emergency responders, dear Heavenly Father. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.